Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday, June 9th, 2021, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Wednesday, all y'all, everybody, everyone. I hope that covers every single one of you from the north, south, the east, and the west. And I hope you're having a good to great to grand hump day. You know, I always say stuff like that. And you know why, because you know me by now. I attempt to keep things on the positive side. So I always make an effort to choose words carefully that I know are going to hit your ears. But even so, I know that wishing you a great hump day can be so, but I also know that some of you, maybe many of you, could be struggling with or dealing with some very real humps of some sort in your life. And so much of it just ain't an easy crawl up or climb up. You know what? This I know. Been there, done that, got the T-shirts, could sell tickets to the crawl up event. Yes, I could. However, the good news, and I do mean good news, is that you can get over the various and many humps that we face in life. It's a faith crawl. It's a faith climb, but you can. I want you to stick with me today because we are going to break the concept of faith into bits and pieces and hopefully inspire you to look at your humps and say, here I come, I am on my way over. My guest today is a true spiritual motivator, inspiring individuals during both their best of times and their most burdensome times in their lives. She is a gifted woman with the ability to comfort, to support and strengthen hearts and minds and spirits, and she's done that countless times for countless individuals who are in need of her special calling. She is CEO of Portia Lockett LLC and the Director of Community Affairs and Spiritual Care at Detroit Medical Center, and she is my very special guest today in the Foxology Spotlight. Welcome, Dr. Portia.
Hello, Silver. It is a pleasure to be back with you once again.
Yeah, for me too, for sure. For sure, yeah. For sure. I'm glad you, I say this to so many of you busy folks. I'm so glad that you could carve out the time to sit and chat. You know, I just always believe I'm bringing the best of the best to the audiences, and I'm just glad that you can take the time to recognize this platform as a valuable and important one. So I appreciate you so much. I really
yeah.
do.
Amen. Amen.
Well, we're going to talk about something that most of us work with every day of our every day of our lives in some way or another, and that is faith. You know, I titled this show, Issues of Faith in Our Daily Lives, the Evidence of Things Not Seen. And both of us are really very familiar with the scriptures, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But I thought we might want to start by talking about what in the world does that really mean when people hear that. I mean, I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, that's deep, but what does it mean? So why don't we just kind of come out of the gates after you just tell people kind of where you are, what you're doing, and why you are an expert on the subject. Let's tackle that evidence of things not seen. So tell us about your background, and I know you've got a lot of padding under that knowledge and that spiritual dynamic of yours.
Right. Well, thank you so much again, Silver. So I just want to just, you know, start off by just saying that, you know, my day-to-day I am blessed to be able to encourage people, guide people in their faith every single day. You know, as a chaplain and working in a hospital setting, you know, people come in, you know, facing the unknown every single day. And so it is my privilege and just so happens to be my job to be able to assist them as they're going through this journey. Because as you know, sometimes when we go through those real hard times, you know, that part about the evidence of things unseen, when we don't see God, we don't feel God, and we don't know God is there, there's a challenge right there. And sometimes some of us get stuck in that space, you know. But when you are able to look back at the things that you've dealt with over your life, and I'm sure most of us that have listened, that are listening right now, have dealt with a lot of things in our lives and just says, wow, I got through it. I didn't think I was going to get through that, you know, that sickness. I didn't think I was going to get through with that cancer. I didn't think that my blood pressure would ever come down. I didn't think I would ever get through that place of being hopeless. I never thought that I would get through that divorce. I never thought that I would get through the fact of losing something. I never thought that I would get through the year of 2020 and still be standing. Look at that. You know, took a lot of faith to persevere and press through everything that we've gone through just overall in the last, I would say, last 18 months of living. The fact that we're still alive and can recognize that we're still alive, that's faith.
Yes, indeed. It is. It is. And we're going to look at that a little bit more closely. And some of I want to talk about some of the realities, and of course what you just said is, but I'm going to kind of point out some particulars and ask you to, you know, provide some insight regarding that. But when I think of the evidence of things not seen as far as faith, I've been in some situations in life, both brought on by myself and this life kind of coming at me, that put me in a place of really lots of questions and, you know, you want to kind of try to figure out what's going on and what's your next move, what should you do, you know, all the questions that many of us ask. And so what I have learned to do is this, because, you know, life doesn't stop happening because you got some faith that you think is, you know, working for you really well.
Right.
Life keeps happening. But what I often do as a practice, I look around inside, I look around outside, I look at people, I look at stuff, and I look at things, and I think, you know what, all of this is answers. These are answers. Mm-hmm. And I look at other things that people are doing, and I know that those are avenues and access and abilities. It's all out there for me to get what it is that I need, whatever I've been hoping for, praying for, dreaming about. It's there. I'm reminded. If I just take the time to be spiritually observant enough and wise enough, you know that the answers are really there. And that's what I think of when I say the evidence of things not seen. I may not see my answer and avenue and access and ability to do something yet, but that's only because I just really don't see it yet. It doesn't mean it's not there. So I hope people will understand that about the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
It's there. You just kind of, it's all in timing. It's all in effort. It's all in waiting, all of that stuff. So just be, as Portia said, be encouraged by understanding what it means in that scripture. But Portia, let's talk about faith in daily life and affairs. I think about, you just mentioned about what we were going through as far as the pandemic, and definitely that has caused a new paradigm in the hearts and minds and homes of people. It's just real different for so many.
Sure.
And people who have never really, I'm sure people who have never really even had to use the kind of faith that we've come to understand, not where, you know, that deep kind, you better, you know, got to dig deep for it and find out what you're going to do. All of a sudden find themselves, you know, the reports would often say, these are people in line who never had to get in line for food or, you know, never had to apply for money and, you know, all of that. And, you know, it's real. What would be something that you think would be helpful if they haven't already found their way? I mean, you had to look for something to build up your strength to deal with it, but what would be some of the things that you might say to those people who found themselves in a, you know, never had anything like this ever occurred to me that it could happen to me?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, for me, it's like I do believe that we are allowed to experience things like this so that we can learn to appreciate. Because sometimes, I'm just going to be honest, sometimes when, if you're a type of person who's always just had everything just been beautiful, you have never experienced any type of problems, you never maybe even dreamed of having to use this magnitude of faith that you just experienced, that you just spoke about. And so sometimes when we go through these situations, these circumstances in our lives that are typically the unnormal for a lot of us, it really tests our level of faith. You know, towards last year, I'll give you some great examples from myself personally, and I can only speak for myself and, you know, from some experiences that I've helped with others. But and at the beginning of last year, I have a sister, you know, who lives in New York, and that was one of the first places that the pandemic hit. And we had no idea that she had experienced COVID because she was just thinking that this was, you know, a reaction to some medication, some allergic reaction to something that she had experienced or whatever. And come to find out, she had COVID because all the symptoms she was experiencing, but it had not been identified as being COVID. Then a couple of months later after that, I lost my oldest sister to COVID. I mean, COVID, you know, it was very, you know, obvious, you know, it was like, it was there. And so as I'm working every day, you know, hearing phone calls and getting phone calls and text messages, pray for this person, pray for that person, they're in the hospital or my job is shutting down or they're laying people off and I don't know how I'm going to pay, you know, my bills. I don't know how this is going to happen. It's just like, why is all this happening to us? Why would God even allow something like this to happen to us? And, you know, you don't have to necessarily have all the questions answered to have faith, because I didn't. You know, I was like, well, why would my sister be experiencing this, and why would I have to lose my other sister? And I'm a praying sister, and I'm praying for everybody, and I'm going out on the limb every day, and I'm going to the hospital, you know, every single day, sacrificing my life for other people, you know, and I'm asking the why questions. And then, you know, God had to, you know, snatch me back a couple of times and say, why not? You're not exempt. And then the latter part of the year, I think my faith was tested more than it had ever been tested before, because I lost my middle son. And so going through that loss for me had nothing to do, you know, with COVID whatsoever, 28 years of age. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute. I pray over my sons, my three sons, I call them my three kings, every single day. You know, why did this have to happen? You know, there's a whole lot of other people out here doing wrong things every single day that don't respect, you know, themselves. They don't respect God. They don't respect other people. They're just doing wrong. They're intentionally just evil people. Why couldn't God take somebody else like that? And again, he spoke to me and said, you're not exempt. You know, and I had people literally tell me that I went to and I talked to and I talked to people, because I was reaching out to other people who experienced something similar, and they all said, you're not exempt. God said, you're not exempt. But one thing that God began to pour into me is a little bit more faith. And he told me just to be still, because even through this hardship, even through this horrific time in your life, I'm going to do something. I'm going to get the glory out of all that. So knowing that even though I still wake up and even though I have those mornings of crying, those nights of crying, or in the middle of the day I find myself, you know, in my office shedding a tear here and there, I know that God told me that he was going to get the glory out of this. And so I remember one day I was sitting in Atlanta in the hotel after that had taken place, and God began to speak to me, and he told me that something was going to happen. And prior to my son passing away, he had just discovered that he was going to be a father. And so I was excited, you know, about becoming a grandmother. But God said to me, he said, be still. Be still, be still, and be quiet. Be still and listen to my voice. Sit somewhere and get still. Stay still and listen. Not just be still in movement, but be still in your mind. Be still and be open to receive. Stop moving. I said, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and be present in this moment. I'm making a transaction. I made a withdrawal from what I created on this universe, and now your son's assignment was complete, but I'm sending you a deposit. Be still and wait. And Silver, when I heard those words, I start writing them down. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I had to pause. It was like I was having this conversation with someone giving me this monologue.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that even though my son is no longer here in the present, in the flesh, he's here with me in the spirit. And now I have something to look forward to, that he left me a little dropling of a granddaughter that will be here in the next 6 weeks. So even though he was taken, his spirit, his seed still lives. And so that right there gives me faith that God was present. Mm-hmm. Even in the midst of a horrific time, God was still there and God is still here.
Thank you for sharing that story. I know how difficult that is, and I'm glad that you were able to share that, because that certainly is on a spectrum of having to rely on your faith that a lot of people never have to experience or know about that. The good thing about it and you know, about all things, pardon me, working together for good, people who heard that will hear what you just said have to come to know that you can get through the toughest, toughest of things and times.
Mm-hmm.
While that is not it's far beyond anything pleasant to go through, but there is the testimony that you give that there's still life, there's still life in you. You've got this grandbaby coming. And the thing, you know, that's critical to understand, that life can go on for you as well. And that's a wonderful thing to speak to people in the midst of what has been going on. It has been, you know, something that's very hard to wrap their heads around. I talk to people just in talking, most of them. I don't even know. It's just because I stop and talk to people if they let me talk to them and talk back. You know, it's difficult. They're still trying to wrap their head around what has occurred. And my thought in theory is that how else do you get through something like this? How do you, you know, they say, well, there's the science and then there's the practicality and all of this stuff. But you know what? I understand all of that. I utilize that in my daily life, both of those things.
Sure.
But I also know that the greatest sustaining factor in my entire living life out from day to day, every moment, every second, is faith, the faith principle. That's what I have to rely on. And that's what I would encourage anybody. You may not get to a point where everything in your life has become critical or you're in crisis mode all the time. But the entire principle of faith is one that I just don't feel fails. If it fails, it may be because you were faithing in the wrong way or in the wrong direction. But the faith principle itself, yes, it doesn't fail you, particularly our faith in God, particularly. Yeah. And I would like for us to kind of segue while I just mentioned that to talk about, you know, people do feel that God fails them. They feel that he didn't come through. The answers didn't come. That's not what I wanted you to do, God. Why didn't you do something, God? You know, that whole dynamic. Would you like to say something in regard to that? Because, you know, a lot of people do stand in question. God did not pray for this, and I waited for that, and I wanted God to do this, and God didn't do it. What would you say to that thinking?
You know, I would encourage people to, you know, to ask for what you want, because I truly believe that God wants the very best for us. But my prayer has kind of shifted a little bit to I pray for God's perfect will, because sometimes the things that we're praying for ourselves, we put limits on it. And so what I mean by that, when I've changed my mindset and how I pray, is I pray for God's perfect will, not my will, but God's perfect will, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. And so if it's God's will, maybe I was praying that husband was going to come and I was going to be married by the time I was 45, and here I am 50, and that husband has not come yet. What is wrong with God? Why has he overlooked me? Why hasn't he showed up yet? And what's wrong with me? What's wrong with God? Why is everybody else getting married? Why haven't I had this child yet? And we can question God, but we may not necessarily get the answer that we want, because he may say, I'm waiting. There's something more special for you. There's something else that I'm doing through you and for you, or that I need you to do before I give you what you're asking me for. And I remember, you know, years ago when I would pray for different things, and I would ask God, like, boldly. I'm coming boldly before you, oh God, and I'm petitioning you, and I've asked, because you said whatever I ask in your name, wherever two or more are gathered in your name, whatever it is I'm asking for. And then sometimes I would get it, and I'm just like, ooh, that's what I wanted. I prayed for that, and he gave it to me. And so, and then once I got it, I'm like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And so that's why I have kind of sort of shifted, you know, my prayer, you know, regarding faith and asking God for different things, because I want his will. You know, I can pray for a car, you know, and I can have, let's just say, you know, a 2010 Camry. I just want this 2010 Camry. I just want a 2020 Camry. But God may desire for you to have a 2021 Avalon, you know, or a Mercedes. You just never know how God is going to bless. So I want what God wants for me. I want the greatest. I don't want to miss it to the left. I don't miss it to the right. And some people will say, you know, well, I don't even know how to operate. I don't even know how to use my faith. What is it? Well, the fact that you woke up this morning and you believed you were going to wake up, because you made plans for today, and you made plans for tomorrow, mm-hmm. and next week, and we plan vacations. When we plan, that's faith, because you're believing that whatever it is that you're planning for is going to manifest. The fact that you get on we trust getting on airplanes when we fly. We trust getting in our vehicles. We trust the fact that when we put a certain amount of gas in our car, it's going to last us for X amount of miles. We have faith that when we go to the grocery store that we're getting food that is not contaminated. It is not expired. I have faith that when I pay my electricity bill, that I'm going to have electricity. So when we put our faith out there every single day in our actions, so we got to trust God. We had faith that this conversation was going to take place today. We set an agenda, but God had a plan, what he wanted to be said and how mm-hmm. he wanted to be said. And so now it's flowing. We have evolved into a conversation that we couldn't have even generated a script for, because this is a God-ordained conversation, and everybody that's supposed to be on this conversation or listening to this conversation is listening with faith, the faith that they were going to have the opportunity to listen.
That's really good, Portia. I really wanted something to be said for those people who really feel like God has not moved on their behalf or done anything on their behalf. I think it's really critical. I'm in that same faith space as you. I'm going to pray for something, but you know what, God, I'm leaving all this big space for you to do whatever. Mm-hmm. And here's what I want to say to people. As tough as it is when you're trying to pray for something that you feel is a God-sized need, or God, it needs to be delivered by the hand mm-hmm. of God, but yeah. you're thinking a certain kind of way, it's not happening. What I can promise you, and I know, Portia, you can say amen to this, mm-hmm. if you wait and let God do what yes. that only God can do with that yes. prayer, yes. you're going to stand in awe of what yes. the answer is that comes. Yes. Like Portia said, you know, we can be grabbing for something, and then we think, oh, I got it, but that was not necessarily the thing that God would have given. You may have maneuvered your way through that prayer. That we do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you wait for your prayer to meet the divine hand of God, it may not mm-hmm. look like it's the divine hand, because so many things are operative with, you know, some of the practical things. But I'm telling you, if you can just wait and let God show up in that circumstance, you will be absolutely amazed at the results that you get in your life. It's not easy. It's not easy. But I'm telling you, if you can just tell yourself, I want what God wants. I want this, God, and I'm saying all of this, but bottom line, I want what you want for me.
Absolutely.
Because I know that's only going to be your best, your most awesome, your most blessed thing for me. You can get to that point, man, you're going to cruise. You're going to cruise through a lot of stuff.
Absolutely.
You
know,
will.
Summer, yes, I've had people who say, I want you to pray for me to get this particular job, right? Or I want you to pray for this business to open up. And we'll pray, and then they'll get that job, and then 2 months later, the company decided to downsize. And guess who they're downsizing?
Mm-hmm.
The people who were just hired. As opposed to praying and saying, God, I'm believing in you for something greater. I'm believing in you where I'm able to utilize all of my talents and skills in another position at another company. I feel like I've outgrown this place, and so now it's time for me to move forward. And so when you're praying and asking God for that, it may not necessarily be company A, B, or C, but that company D, if you just wait a little bit longer, he's adjusting some things. He's shifting some things in the atmosphere. He's preparing you. He's preparing them for you. So sometimes it just means we've just got to wait and utilize the spirit or our ability to be able to be patient and wait on God. And sometimes when it seems like it's taking God so long to do what he's going to do, we want to take things into our own hands. We say, okay, God, I gave you 3 years to do this. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. And then I've heard people say things like, you know, I prayed for this husband, and he didn't come when I wanted to. That was the person that I wanted. And then 2 years later, that person passed away. And then you're looking back over that situation, just, wow, that could have been me. I could have been a widow if I had married that person, or I could have been the caregiver of that person who is now critically or chronically ill. That's not the person God wanted me to have. And so I thank you, God, for allowing me to see what you see, or allowing me not to be in that position, because I learned to trust God, not necessarily trust all that I want.
It's true, and we do need to understand that in the process of our praying, sometimes that way is because of steps that need to be taken and shifts that need to be had. And when you mention about a job, perhaps the job, the dream job that you want, you got to wait for somebody to get fired or retire or something for that
job to
open up for you. You know, you just don't know all of the backdrop of things that are going on. And, you know, it's almost impossible for us to always figure that part of it out. But again, the whole principle of the faith of evidence of not things not seen, you won't be able to see everything. You just have to know some things, knowing that God, if you've asked God, that he's working it out somehow. Processes beyond your ability to understand. You know, the delays in life are some of the hardest to deal with. You know, when you're waiting for a particular thing, a husband, or a new home, or money to get right, or whatever the case may be, there are factors that go into that. And I know that oftentimes we are looking for that miracle to occur that just changes the dynamic quickly. Now, I believe in miracles. Let me just make that clear. Don't get it twisted.
Absolutely.
I do. I believe in the supernatural power to change something in a second. I do.
Yeah.
However, you got to remember that that's not always what the process is going to be. And even if it isn't instantaneous, when you get to it, it's still going to feel like a miracle to you. You'll still feel the dynamic of, you knew God's hand was in making that happen.
Yeah.
And you've got to get, I think one of the greatest things that Portia and I are saying today is that in your praying, understand who God is and how he works, not just how you think your prayer is supposed to manifest something.
Yeah.
Your prayer will manifest something if you keep believing God for it. But that's the whole crucial and critical part of getting faith to operate for you. That's the big part of it. You're not praying for people to do something. You're not praying for your neighbor to do something. You're not, you know, praying for that guy that you're with or woman that you're with to do something. You're praying for God to do something impacting. You're praying for God to do something influential. You're praying for God to give supernatural insight. And you've got to realize that that's how it works. A lot of people may not understand this, but I've lived long enough to know. I know what I'm talking about. It's really real. It's not always easy. Like Portia was talking about when she lost her son is a perfect example of how you need to, let me roll that back. I won't say you need to. That we encourage you to get to know the spiritual operation. When she said she was still and really still and listen, the clarity of that message was so powerful, Portia.
Yeah.
So powerful that you shared. But that's the kind I know in my own life, I'm so good when I hear a clear message from God. I don't care what's going on.
Yes.
You know, how bad it may be, how tough it may be. If I get that word of knowledge, insight, wisdom like you got, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I have no more. I'm not negotiating with you anymore, God, because I heard what you said.
Absolutely.
I heard what you said I need to do. I heard where you said that I should be still, stand still, stop. Don't ask me that anymore. Here's the answer to that.
Yes, absolutely.
Those are powerful positions to get yourself into. And I guess I can hear, and I'm going to have you respond to this. I guess I hear in my heart somebody saying, but how do you hear? How do you hear his voice?
You know what? This is divine because that dropped in my spirit too when you were talking. It's like, how do I know it's the voice of God? And the way you have to know the voice of God is spending time with him. It's not going to just happen. You can't just say, I want to hear your voice today. Because if you've never been spending time, you know, with God, then you're not going to know his voice. It's almost like starting from a baby. And when the baby's born, they hear the nurses talking, they hear the doctors talking, they hear mom talking, they hear dad talking. They start hearing mama's voice a little bit more, daddy's voice a little more, to the point where they know mama's voice. Mama's voice stands out. Brothers and sisters, the siblings, their voices stand out. And so they have a little smile or they might just turn their head. But when they know that voice, they're more in tune to pay attention to what that voice is saying and how that voice is singing and how that voice is comforting them. You know, and as we get older, we can be outside playing outside. And when mama says, Portia, I would know if that was my mother's voice or somebody else's mama's voice calling me because I'm in tune to my mama's voice because I've spent time with my mother. So when you spend time in the Word and understanding the Word of God through prayer and reading and studying the Word and meditating on the Word one at a time, then you'll begin to know that's God speaking to me. I mean, every time literally that I read a different passage in the Bible, it something is revealed to me differently that was never revealed before because of where I am and my walk and my perception of how I'm in tune to God right now, which is totally different than how it was 30 years ago, totally different than how it was, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even a year ago. I have my antennas are so high right now that if God walked into the place where I am right now or there were a group of people and they all just said, Portia, I would be able to say which one was the voice of God saying Portia. But it took me a while to get there. So I just encourage you to just take that time and be still. Set aside time throughout your day, your mornings, your afternoons, your night, when you break away from everything and everybody so that you know the voice of God when it's speaking to you. And sometimes God speaks through words. Sometimes he speaks through other people. Sometimes you depending on where you are in your walk, he'll speak directly to you in your spirit or in dreams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but it depends on your relationship. Yeah.
It's really true. It's really real. And I know a lot of people, you know, when you say you talk to God and the God talks to you, they really think we're weird and a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, you know, I don't know how exactly to address that, but to mm-hmm. say that I know what's really real, and I know
yeah.
that there is a reality to
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I often when people don't believe and, you know, all the dynamics of what they say about, you know, Christians and things like that, I just always think to myself, but you really just don't know. Because if you really knew, then you would not even dare say some of the things that you say or think some of the things that you think. And, you know, I always feel like, you know, people who deny the faith and the faith in Jesus Christ, I just say this, you don't know you need Jesus until you need Jesus. And I promise you that things can get to a point where that might be all you have
mm-hmm.
that you can have.
But here, my pastor.
And you're going to ask, and you're going to ask for him, I promise.
No,
you're not going to go out here.
I was going to say, my pastor always says it's better to need him and not have him than have him and not need him.
Yeah. Yeah, so,
you know, so we all
know,
need
them. We do, and some people just don't know they need him until they need him, and
right.
you know that's really really a real thing. I and I'll share this because I truly believe that when he you know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, when my mom passed away, I was 19, and she was a very fun-loving woman, and she did not have a deep abiding faith. She had relatives. She had her closest best friend, cousin, friend was
mm-hmm.
a minister.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny enough, but that was the closest person to her. And I called her auntie because she was so much older than us, but
mm-hmm.
She would always, any time and every time she would come to her house, she would always pray for us, over us individually, all of that. But I remember one particular time when she was getting ready to go back to Chicago. We were in Milwaukee, and she said to my mom, she said, I'd like to pray for you. And my mother said, it's not going to help. Because my mother was really, she was just... She was just a very fun-loving person. Her head was not
mm-hmm.
in a spiritual place.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't, and it didn't make her a bad person. It just made her a non-believer, if you can, you know,
mm-hmm.
put it that way. However, when I talk about you don't need Jesus until you won't know you need Jesus until you need Jesus, my mother got pregnant and decided that she wanted to have an abortion. This was before they were legal.
Mm-hmm.
So she had an illegal abortion. She died from it. But
mm-hmm.
on her dying bed, I was probably the last person to see her alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking over in the bed at her struggling through this sepsis that had poisoned her entire system and struggling
mm-hmm.
for her life. And I looked over at her, and I said, oh, Mommy, I said, please don't die. And her eyes kind of shifted, and the only words that came out of her mouth was, Jesus.
Mm.
And I stood there looking at her and knowing it was probably the last thing that
mm-hmm.
she'd ever said. Because I left mm-hmm. shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
They had us come back to the hospital immediately because they
mm-hmm.
said she wasn't going to make it. But I said all that to say, I don't care what kind of life you lived. I don't care how non-believing you may have been.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is going to come for you. And if you
yeah.
want him, he's right there. That
yeah.
was in her last moment of her life. And I hope that what I just shared with you encourages you about the reality of who he is, what he's done, who God is. I believe that even in leaving the natural world, if you haven't believed, I believe Jesus is still fighting for your spirit. Mm. I believe that. I don't mm-hmm. think the word tells us he doesn't desire that anybody mm-hmm. should be lost. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. what I thought I saw working for my mom in those last moments was yeah. that mm-hmm. I've come to save mm-hmm. you. Mm. And I thought, this is just one of the most profound things I've ever seen. And I was just a young girl, but it was so profound. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So faith, whatever little faith may have conjured up in her memory, or if she was seeing Jesus face to face, I know that her cousin, her sister cousin friend, was always praying for her salvation. And you may not, as I said, know you need Jesus until you need Jesus. But that was a truly phenomenal faith moment in my life. Of course, I losing my mother was really dramatic, of course, and traumatic. But mm-hmm. that memory of that has had a whole different kind of impact on me that I'm never going to forget. And I think this is probably the only time I've ever shared that open publicly about her and about her life. But I felt like I needed to, because I know that, so many people are living on the edge, and whatever faith things we can get across to you today on whatever level that you can receive it, that's really something we encourage to have happen from this conversation. Yes. that we're having. So faith, the need for faith comes in so many different ways for so many different reasons. Portia and I have talked about, she talked about several things. I talked about some things, but I do know, as I said earlier in my intro, that there are a lot of humps in life, and whatever it is that another person may be going through that may be listening. I know it, you could be in some other type of crisis, because there's so many. It could be addiction. It could be some type of maybe abusive situation. It could be so many things that might be causing you to go through a struggle or a challenge or something that's feeling worse, maybe being abused sexually by somebody that you know you love, but that's not what's supposed to be happening between the two of you. There's so many issues and problems and crisis situations, but the whole direction of what we're talking about today is to, again, empower you with some tools and with some greater understanding on what faith really does. And even the things that I just mentioned, and Portia, you can speak after this, those horrible, horrible things, faith can come to your rescue.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say, too, that no matter how broken you may feel, you just like mm-hmm. this feel, you just broke down to your bare bottom. Just trust the process of utilizing your faith. No matter how little your faith you may have, God can put the pieces back together. And if you may be experiencing some bitter moments in your life, but no, if you just trust God and just have a little bit of faith, God can transition that bitterness into something sweet. And I just encourage you just to continue to seek the Word, study the Word, get around like-minded people, you know, that you can trust, and just walk this thing out. God is not going to leave you. And I want to just leave you with this last little poem that God gave me during during this walk of healing, for this journey that I'm going through. And it's entitled Like mm-hmm. Mary. Like Mary, I stand where so many other mothers have stood. I grieve like other mothers have grieved. I questioned like other mothers have questioned. I've screamed like other mothers have screamed. My emotions are all over the place like other emotions of other mothers have been. I'm speechless like other mothers who couldn't speak. I've cried like other mothers who cried. I prayed like other mothers have prayed. So now I have to lean on the one and only God like other mothers have. Hashtag peace over pain. Hashtag live the love.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
God bless you, Portia. Thank you for sharing that and all of the things that you've said today. And we trust that people really have been encouraged and empowered and incited to investigate what faith could possibly mean for the betterment of their lives. I appreciate you, sister, so much. And if you want to tell anything about, I'm going to put this on the radio information, but how people can reach out to you best at your website.
Yes, drportialockett.com, and on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, at Portia Lockett. They can also go to the Amazon and get one of the books that I was a part of a collaboration, Delayed But Not Denied, Part 2, and then also stay tuned for Released Resilience, which is a compilation by Monica Garrett. I was a part of that compilation as well, and that will be soon released on Amazon.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, I know there's some other people that need you today, so I'm going to let you get about your
okay.
other business. And again,
amen.
All
right,
Mama. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you.
Love
God
you so
bless.
Much for
Love you.
You
okay.
Too,
bye-bye.
Take, bye now.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me today as well. What an awesome conversation, huh? I don't know how many of you really needed it or knew how deep we'd go. I wasn't sure either. I just knew that it was something that needed to be discussed today. There's so much that's going on in so many homes and hearts and in lives, and I'm just really believing that somehow what we talked about today will give you that little bit of inspiration to keep on keeping on and building your faith. Remember, use your faith in your daily life and affairs. Use faith in times of crisis. Use faith when problems are there. It really does work. And when it seems like God's not answering and that he's just delaying, just remember that the answers are forthcoming. They are there. Just keep believing. Keep doing what you need to do. Keep faithing your way. I'm going to look forward to talking to you again next time. Got a show coming up on Monday, so watch for the details of that. In the meantime, y'all be good, be blessed, and be awesome.